Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to give you a brief overview about European climate policies and the European emissions trading scheme in particular. As we learned yesterday, Europe and especially the European Commission wants to play a more important role, and it of course wants to play a more important role especially in international climate policies. Today, the European share of global greenhouse gas emissions is less than 15%. Carbon efficiency is rather good. Per capita emissions, of course, are relatively high. Therefore, Europe wants to take responsibility by reducing emissions significantly after emissions have been rather stable in the last couple of years. A new bunch of climate policy targets has been adopted earlier this year. Emissions of greenhouse gases should be reduced by 20% until 2020. It should be even reduced more by 30% if other important countries commit themselves to similar reduction targets. Second target is that energy efficiency should be increased by 20%. Third, 20% of all energy consumption should come from renewable energies in the year 2020. And finally, a minimum of 10% of all transport, petrol and diesel consumption should be biofuels in the year 2020. A number of different instruments have been introduced to achieve these targets in the last couple of years, and further instruments are being discussed. But the core instrument, of course, of the European climate policies is the emissions trading scheme. This was introduced, and we have heard this discussion earlier this morning. The ETS has been introduced after intensive discussions on European environmental taxes. So the first idea was to create a European carbon tax or an energy tax or something similar, but there's not been a consensus on a coordinated carbon taxation in order to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Therefore, today, there are different national taxes. Most taxes on energy consumption instead of one European carbon emission tax, but there's not a level playing field for all energy consumers. After the negotiations on a common carbon tax has failed, the emission trading system has been introduced. The basic idea is to create a market for environmental goods. Total emissions should be restricted, emission rights should be traded on the market. The cap and trade system should lead to better and cheaper climate protection using market mechanisms and using the signal of a market price. While the carbon tax sets a price for greenhouse gas emissions, the cap and trade system sets the amount of emissions. Markets should find the efficient price. Nevertheless, the emission trading system is not a real market. We heard that earlier today as well. And it's a simulation of a market. And one of the main differences is that supply is stable, is fixed. There are no additional emission rights if demand is rising and if prices are rising. There's no safety valve in this system, but a safety valve could be included, of course. When the European Union introduced the emission trading system for carbon dioxide, there have been some theoretical concepts of economists, and there have been some experience in the United States. But unfortunately, the European system is not something like a textbook solution. One of the main problems is that it didn't replace one single other instrument. It has been introduced on top of all the other instruments, and there's not been a real analysis of interactions between these instruments, so the whole set of instruments is far from a textbook solution. The ETS in the European Union has been in operation since 2005, and in addition to the main cap and trade idea, it is based on several fundamental construction principles. First, the system has been divided into two trading periods. The first one has been running from 2005 until the end of this year, until 2007, and it was intended to be a testing period to gain experience with the new instrument. The second period, from 2008 to 2012, should lead to the reduction of emissions necessary to fulfill the international commitments. The second principle is that emissions are allocated on the plant level. That is the main difference to the Kyoto emission trading idea, which is an emission trading scheme between countries. This is a scheme on plant level. In total, about 11,000 power plants and production plants have been involved within the system. Most emission allowances are allocated to the power generating sector, including coal also in Germany. Production of electricity is the most important industry involved. Other areas are refineries, glass, cement, paper, ceramics, lime, coke, and steel. Households or the transport sector are not part of the emission trading. However, rising energy prices due to the emission trading system, of course, have an effect on the households as well. In total, 45% of all carbon dioxide emissions are subject to the system. In Germany, it's a little bit more. It's 55% there. Other greenhouse gases are not yet involved. One of the main problems, or one of the main questions of all emission trading schemes, is how to allocate the emission rights. In the ETS, emissions are allocated by the national government on a national level. But in order to ensure similar allocation rules in all member states, the national allocation plans have to be approved by the European Commission, a fairly bureaucratic action, actually. The main allocation principle is free grandfathering. Emissions allowances are distributed according to historic emissions, early action, and emission benchmarks. As there is no uniform allocation rule in Europe, criteria and standards do differ very much from member state to member state, and this is not very transparent, which is another key problem of the European system. The alternative method auctioning hasn't played an important role so far in Europe. Up to 10% of all national allowances could be auctioned. Germany wants to auction about 8% to the energy sector starting next year. Last principle is that the European ETS is linked to the Kyoto mechanisms. It is linked to the flexible instruments like joint implementation and clean development mechanism. Some countries like the Netherlands do very much use these instruments. Others like Germany have not yet discovered them, really. The ETS should give carbon dioxide a price. And allowances are traded, of course, like shares on markets, over the counter, on energy exchanges. But the main question is if the prices really reflect the alternative measures to reduce the cost of alternative measures to reduce emissions. And if you look at the price development, there's high volatility. It has been mentioned earlier today. When trading started, most analysts expected the price of about 10 to 15 euro per carbon dioxide allowance. But the price rose steadily up to about 30 euro. One reason for this was the rising price for natural gas. As natural gas became more expensive, more coal was used to produce electricity. This fuel shift led to higher emissions and higher allowances prices. Additionally, uncertainty about future emissions and about the availability of emission rights led to higher prices. In 2006, you see it on the chart, the price dropped very sharply. It lost half, or the allowances lost half of their value within 1 week. This happened when new data on actual emissions indicated that more allowances than needed had been issued in several countries. So this is, again, one transparency problem, that prices are not really predictable in this system. After this shock, prices remained more or less stable until autumn 2006. For the last year, a steady decline in prices has been observed. By now, an allowance is not worth more than a couple of cents. The reason for this is a detail of the emission trading system. In the first trading period, banking is not permitted, which means that allowances for 2005-2007 cannot be used in 2008 anymore. As there are enough emissions in the market, the remaining allowances are in fact worthless and the price is tending to zero. Therefore, the current price does not indicate cost of reduction, it indicates demand for reform of the system. And in the second period, banking within the period will be allowed, and banking between the second and future periods will be allowed as well. Nevertheless, prices for allowance futures are more stable. They remained on a level of 15 to 20 euro until spring 2007. The price increase since then is a result of tighter emission caps for the second trading period. For the period 2008-2012, 12.4% less allowances are allocated and 5.2% less than the actual emissions in 2005. This shortage of allowances led to higher prices, which demonstrates that the market mechanism itself is working. Nevertheless, the extreme volatility of prices should not occur after 2007 anymore if the reputation of the ETS should not be severely damaged. However, market results are one thing, but they can have negative impact on certain industries or certain sectors. The direct and indirect costs, costs of the emission trading allowance, or the emission allowances, and costs of higher energy prices. Although the allowances have been allocated for free, they have a value, of course. And using them while producing energy, for example, leads to opportunity costs because the electricity suppliers could have sold the allowances instead of producing electricity. As there's no world market for electricity, opportunity costs can be passed on to the customers, and windfall profits for energy producers, energy suppliers, is a consequence, which is very much has been very much criticized in the last couple of years, and is one of the negative public effects of the ETS system. However, many of the energy-intensive industries, which are part of the ETS, produce goods for world markets. European companies compete with firms in other parts of the world. You have the same discussion in Australia, as I learned yesterday. And customers on world markets, for steel, for example, they don't care if there's a special additional price because of an emission trading system. They could buy from cheaper product producers outside the country. For some industries, the ETS is an advantage on the local markets. For others, it's a disadvantage on international markets. Power generation and refinery companies benefit because they can pass on a large fraction of the opportunity costs. Other sectors have to face additional real indirect and direct costs. In fact, the net cost increase which companies have to bear is up to 1.7% in the steel industry, up to 6.2% for pulp and paper producers, and up to 3.8% for the cement industry. And we observe today that new capacities for cement production are being planned and built in Northern Africa and not in Europe. And this is a very obvious leakage effect, which we discussed yesterday as well. Aluminium producers are even more severely affected. While costs for producing secondary aluminium have raised by 0.5% only, costs to produce primary aluminium went up by 11.4%. For the time being, the emission trading scheme of the European Union is organized until 2012. The future of the system depends on future international climate agreements, of course. And that's another negative aspect. We do not really know something about the future. We don't know about this relevant price mechanism for the time after 2012, which is, of course, a problem if you want to do any long-term investment. But as Europe has announced to reduce emissions by 20 to 30% until 2020, and probably more afterwards, it is very likely that there will be a future trading period after 2012. Various modifications of the existing systems may come into effect in the future. First, overall greenhouse gas reduction targets are getting stricter. That's for sure. Emission ceilings for the ETS sectors will be more ambitious and more challenging, of course. Probability of further shortening of allowances is very high. Auctioning will become more important. Free allocation of allowances will not be the role for the future anymore. As there are massive political attempts to auction a greater share of allowances, it is very probable that this new source of revenue for the ministers of finance or for public budgets will be used. The European Union tries to include further sectors into the emission trading scheme, especially the transport sector. Currently, airlines should be included, but international maritime traffic could be the next segment. Today, the allocation scheme is very bureaucratic, and it allows the national governments to influence the development of certain sectors. This is not transparent, and this is not something like a market regulation. So in the future, allocation scheme could be there could be stricter rules, or there will be probably stricter rules, and it's also discussed to organize the allocation on the European level, not on the national level anymore. The emission trading scheme may be extended to additional greenhouse gases. There's a discussion about methane. And finally, and maybe most important for the international community, the ETS may be linked to other emission trading schemes which are being developed in other countries or in certain regions within countries. Ladies and gentlemen, the emission trading system still is the core of the European climate protection policy. But so far, experience is very mixed. The market itself is working, but it also shows the real costs, or the costs of unilateral greenhouse gas reduction. What industries in Europe need and ask for is a more or less playing field within Europe and a more or less playing field for all companies that compete on global markets. Thank you very much.